How do you find joy in a hard life? Would you agree that life is hard?
Yes.
Life is hard. And the pessimists say this, life is hard, then you die. That's the pessimist view, right? I've seen bumper stickers like that. Something similar to that, right? But we have a living hope. We know what's coming. We can be sure that the Lord is coming back and that we're going to be with Him one day. Yeah, we're going to be with Him one day. We're going to be where He is doing exactly what He wants us to do. And you know what that's going to be? Fellowshipping with Him and enjoying the creation that He made, right? We started in the garden. We're going to go back to the garden. That's what it's going to be. Amen. But in the meantime, we've got to get through this life. We've got to deal with this flesh. We've got to deal with the demands of the world. How do we do that? By calling on the Lord and leaning on the Holy Spirit. Calling on Him for His help all the time when we need it, right? Let's go to the Lord and ask Him to help us understand what we're going to talk about here today. Father, it's such a joy to stand before these saints and present Your Word and talk about how wonderful You are and the power of the Holy Spirit and how He longs to help us get through our days here and bring glory to You there. So, Lord, that's exactly what we want to do. That's why we study Your Word. That's why we fellowship together. We want to encourage each other to bring glory to You through the things we do here, Lord. That's why we want to live the good life. We want to imitate our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And He has given us the Holy Spirit to do just that. Lord, help us to understand Your Word. Help us to understand it's Your Word of grace. It's not the whipping post. It's the loving post. Your love revealed to us. Your love helping us make it through this life. You are a wonderful Savior, a loving, merciful God. Lord, if we would just remember that and turn to You often, moment by moment even, we would see You in a whole different light. Help us to see You in that light. Help us to live for You and bring glory to You. We pray this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. All right, praise God. So it's a hard life. So how do we find joy in this hard life? Jesus told us that in this world we would have tribulation. No doubt about it. He guarantees we're going to have that. Sometimes it's small, sometimes it's great. Sometimes it seems like it's not there. Everything's running right, you know. But we will have tribulation at some point. He also gave us the antidote for tribulation. He gave us the remedy for that, didn't He? Himself. He is the remedy for the tribulation that we go through, right? He gave Himself, then He gave the Holy Spirit to us, so we can make it through this life praising God and having victory if we keep our eyes on Him, right? That's the caveat. We have to follow the Holy Spirit, and where is He going to lead us? Right to Jesus. That's where He's going to lead us. He's going to lead us to live like Jesus would live. Do what Jesus would do. That's what He wants us to do. That's what God wants us to do. And He makes it as easy as He can. He takes those all those 10 commandments and all the extra ones that they've added on there, and He boils it down to 2. Just 2 commandments. Love God with everything you are and everything you have. That's my interpretation of that, right? Just love Him with all you are, all you have, all your heart, soul, mind, spirit. Love Him with that, your material possessions. Love Him with all of that. And then love your neighbor as yourself. Okay? That's the hardest part, loving your neighbor as yourself. That gets to be pretty demanding. You have to humble yourself. You have to put your desires to the side and do things that maybe you don't want to do. Maybe you want to do something different. You don't want to help the neighbor. But if the Lord is working in you, the Holy Spirit is working in you, you won't sit there very long before you'll say, I got to get up and go. You can't help it. The Holy Spirit just moves you to do it. The antidote for tribulation, the way to find joy in this life, is Jesus Christ. Imitate Jesus Christ. And you can't do it without the Holy Spirit. You cannot do it otherwise. You can try, but I guarantee you, you're not going to make it. So when you get to that point and you say to yourself, I can't do this, then you know you need to call on the Holy Spirit. Lord, help me. When you say, Lord, help me, what does He do? He gives the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit becomes active in your life. Jesus has overcome this world and its ultimate end, death. Death is what this world gives you.
Amen.
Yes, if you're the pessimist, non-believing person, yes, that's true. You suffer through life and then you die. But that's not the end. That's not the end, you know. A lot of people hear, oh, you can have eternal life through Jesus Christ. But I've got some bad news. You can have eternal life without Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Right? Just because Jesus isn't there doesn't mean your life, your spirit, expires and that's it. No. Your spirit is going to live on in one of two places. It's either going to be with the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're going to be full of joy and happiness, or it's going to be without Jesus Christ, and it's going to be misery beyond you can't even imagine it. Sometimes when people say, you know, what do you think hell's going to be like? I say this. Imagine Jesus on the cross. Read about the true depiction of what a crucifixion is like. It's gruesome. That's what it's going to be like. In a crucifixion, you don't die immediately. You linger and suffer for a whole day. And then if they want to have mercy on you, then they'll kill you. If they don't, then you'll just hang there. Yeah. It's horrible. So, we want to avoid all that, don't we? We want to have joy in our life. Isn't that what we want?
Amen.
Of course we do, okay? Joy. So in order to find joy in this world, you must establish a dependent relationship with Jesus. You have to have a dependent relationship. Not what you want to do. You have to depend on Him. Yes, you're going to be codependent on Jesus Christ. And you know what He says about that? Perfectly fine. Come on. I love you. I love you. Come on and do it. That's what I want. That's what I've been trying to get you to do, right? Have that codependent relationship with Jesus. He wants you to be one with Him. He wants you to be one with Him. You, are you ready for this? You are the bride. He is the groom. What happens in a marriage between a bride and a groom? The two shall become one flesh. That's how Jesus pictures His relationship with His church. I want them to be in me. I want me to be in them. I want us to be one. I want us to be unified. Glorifying God and doing those things that the Holy Spirit wants us to do to bring that glory to God Almighty. God Almighty, to me, God Almighty is all three in one. Yes, they do separate work, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They do separate things. But when they're all together in agreement on something, that's God Almighty.
Amen.
They're all together on it. Amen? So, you be the bride. You submit yourself to Jesus. You submit yourself to the Holy Spirit. You do what they want you to do. Oh, that's not popular nowadays. Oh, the ladies, oh, don't do what that husband says. He, oh man, you got to have your own way. You got to have your own job. You got to have your own bank account. You got to have your ever, whatever it is. Don't depend on that husband. And you know, sometimes husbands do let the ladies down, I have to admit. But that never happens with the Lord. The Lord never lets us down. He never lets us down. He always gives us the best. God has a plan for your life. A plan for good and not for evil. That's what He says in His Word. He tells you that right up front, right? Now we have an example that we can look at. We can look at guess who? Well, we could look at Jesus, couldn't we? But we know that Jesus was the Son of God. So right away when you say, let's look at Jesus and see how this relates to Him, right away we're going to say, well, He's the Son of God. He can do it because He's God. I'm not God. I can't do that. Okay, so we're going to go past Jesus. We're going to go to a man, just like you and I, humanity, flesh and blood. We're going to look at the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul. He started out loving God. He started out wanting to live for God. But he had the wrong picture of what that looked like. He was all about the Ten Commandments and all the other commandments that the Sanhedrin and the government of Israel, the religious government, had put on them. They had over 600 laws that you had to follow. And if you didn't follow them, oh, you were in deep trouble. Deep trouble. So Paul started out that way. And he started out with his name was Saul, right? But when the Lord got a hold of him on that road to Damascus and changed his outlook on what he should be doing for the Lord, he got a new name, he got a new life, he got a new spirit, and he got a new mission, didn't he? He got all those things. Bam! And it was so powerful it blinded him for a while, right? Why did God blind him? Because he wants him to sit down and listen. You know, that's the hardest thing, isn't it? Sit down and listen. Especially nowadays. You can't hardly get people to sit down and listen. That was what was so good about Operation Stand Down. Because what are they? They're there to get their teeth fixed, right? And you can't just walk in there and get it done. No, you got to sit there and wait. Some of those people sat there for hours waiting for their turn. Well, what do you do while you're sitting there waiting? You have some guy come over and start talking to you about Jesus. Start asking you if you need some prayer. Start asking you if you want some guidance in your spiritual life. No, I'm not the guide. The Holy Spirit's the guide. That's who I'm going to steer you to. I don't have the answers. He has the answers. Amen? And so that's what you do. You tell them about Jesus. Because they're waiting. They have nothing else to do. They'll listen. They'll listen then because got nothing else to do. Okay, so you tell them about that. So the Apostle Paul faced many hardships in his life. You know, I was going to look up that scripture that tells all he went through. How many beatings he had. How many shipwrecks he had. How many times he was stoned. How many times he was whipped. How many times he was left for dead. But we know he went through all that, don't we? We know he went through that. I mean, they leave you for dead. They think you're dead. Next thing you know, you're up preaching again. How'd that guy, how's he doing that? Well, it's the power of God. That's how he's doing it. So he had all these brutal things happen to him. But Paul always spoke of joy. His joy, he always spoke about, came from the Lord and the resources of the Lord. Didn't come from the world. God just used what was in the world. He brought those resources to be so Paul could have them and use them to get out the message of God. He always spoke of his joy. His joy came from the Lord. Paul knew this and focused his thoughts and prayers on his dependent relationship with the Lord. Folks, I'm not going to lie to you. I'm going to tell you the truth. If you don't get to that point where you have a dependent relationship with Jesus, you're depending on Him, you're not going to know the full blessing. And you're going to wonder sometimes, why did that happen? How can this be? Yes, you have a part to play. Jesus did all the work to get you saved. He went to the cross. He gave His body. He shed His blood. He died in your place. He was resurrected, guaranteeing that we will be resurrected as well. We don't have to do anything to get saved except accept His gift of mercy, grace, and salvation. Amen? Then comes our task. Then we get involved and we serve the Lord. And that can look like all kinds of different things, how you serve the Lord. I talked to a man yesterday at Operation Stand Down and he was on 100% disability. And he was a nice guy. He had a great personality. He started out with 10% disability. You know, that's how they do it with the military. They don't give you full off right at the beginning. And so then you've got to apply and do things, you know, and build it up, 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 up. And usually you have to hire an attorney to get that done. He said, I didn't hire an attorney. I checked it out all on my own. And I went from 10% to 40%. And I was at that level for a while and I was checking out how I could go. Then I went to 60%. And then I checked that out and I saw what I had to do. Then I went to 80%. And I got there for a while. I checked out everything I had to do to get. And he said, finally, I got 100% disability. I know how to do it. I have helped other people get higher, more disability. I said, you know what, brother? Because he believed. He's a believer. I said, you know what, brother? You have a ministry right there. You have a ministry. You're telling me you want to help people. You want to help veterans get that higher disability. But you can't work for someone because when you start working and earning money, you know, then that affects what your disability is. I said, but you can serve the Lord. You can serve the Lord. Man, you could see the gears start turning. And his wife was sitting there. And she was thinking about it too. And I said, you know what? You'll never know how the Lord will bless you unless you do that. When you start doing that, then you'll start seeing his blessing. You won't believe what he'll do for you. Try it. There's a challenge. Try it. Try the Lord and see that He is good. He'll give you that challenge. You know, He wants you to prove it. Amen. I got to get going here. I'm spending way too much time talking about this stuff. All right. Well, Paul knew that he needed to focus on the Lord. So he focused his thoughts and prayers on his dependent relationship. Now we're going to go to Philippians 4:10. Go to the book of Philippians chapter 4. And we're going to skip around a little bit, but mostly we're going to be in the book of Philippians. Paul wrote the book of Philippians. The Apostle Paul, the Holy Spirit used him to write about 13 books in the New Testament. He gets credit for writing the lion's share of the New Testament, right? And they don't know about the book of Hebrews. They think he might have written it, but there's no author claim on it. But pretty much everybody thinks he wrote it. But he did definitely write Philippians 4:10. 4:10, that's the verse we're going to focus on. Philippians chapter 4, verse 10. Paul had joy from the support sent to him from churches the Lord had sent him to establish. He went and got people together who believed in the Lord and created a church. And then as he went on his missionary journey, they would support him, right? So he would get support from them. Paul took joy in knowing that he had encouraged others to promote the gospel of Christ. You see, when you can motivate people to do things for Christ, it gives joy to you. It gives joy to the Lord. It gives joy to those people. So it's a win-win-win proposition, right? Nobody loses in that condition. So he's motivating them. In verse 10 he says, "But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again. Though you surely did care, but you lacked." Okay, so when the church first got going, they were supporting him, then something happened. I don't know what happened, but something happened. And they couldn't send the support they'd been sending before. But they worked their way back to where they could send it again, right? And he's praising God and praising them because they didn't just give up. When things got tough and they couldn't send the support they wanted to send, they didn't say, well, we can't do that, might as well forget it. No, they kept on. They were tenacious. They trusted the Lord and they got back to where they wanted to be. Amen? We, this church, give the Lord joy. Not just because we come here on Sunday morning and give Him praise. I mean, that's joy to Him as well. But we give Him joy as we show care for others by promoting His gospel, by supporting His missionaries. Now, we have missionaries that we support directly in this church. I forget how many there are now, 5 or 6, that we support. We send them money every month, right, to help them promote the gospel of Christ. But we also give to the Florida Baptist Convention. They have missionaries. We give to the Southern Baptist Convention. They have missionaries. So we're sending these missionaries out to praise and promote God. That brings the Lord joy. It brings those missionaries joy. It brings us joy. We're happy because we're able to do it, right? So we keep doing it because we want that joy. The joy of the Lord through promoting the gospel of Christ. That's what we want to do. Amen? So being able to provide that support brings us joy. Amen? It does. Please go now to Colossians chapter 1. There's another book Paul wrote. He wrote to the church of Colossae. And he encouraged them. He started the church and he wrote to them. And we're going to go to chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. And we're still saying, Paul took joy in seeing the faith of others. He wanted to build up the faith. Why should we build up the faith? Why should we build up your faith? So that one day the Holy Spirit's going to say to you, you know, I could sure use somebody to do this over here. I don't know what it's going to be, but he can take your talent, your skill, and he can send you somewhere to do something for him, right? Then you would get joy out of that. He would get joy out of it. The people that receive you would get joy out of it. Joy, 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 right? Okay, that's how the song goes at Christmas time, right? Joy, joy, joy. Yeah. Okay, so Paul took joy in this. And in verse 3 and 4, he says this. We give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, the people in the church, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and your love for all the saints. You are following the Holy Spirit. You are doing the will of God. You are spreading the gospel and loving the saints. Isn't that what Jesus said to do? Love God with everything you are and love each other? Sure he did. Paul says, we give thanks. Paul had no less than 8 associates there with him when he wrote this letter, right? Including Mark and Luke. They were there who are with him during this imprisonment. He was in prison when he wrote this. Now, it wasn't the hard imprisonment that he was going to go through later. It's kind of like house arrest. And he wasn't totally free, but people could come visit him. So it wasn't that bad, but he was able to write and carry on correspondence and promote the gospel while he was there. Amen. Quite a prayer group, wasn't it? Mark and Luke and 4 or 5 others that you would recognize if I gave your name. So faithful men called of God fulfilling their call. How were they able to fulfill that call? They had a dependent relationship with Christ. They depended on Him. Those men that Jesus called as His apostles, they left everything they had. They depended on Him. That's how they were able to be used so mightily of Him. They didn't depend on themselves. They depended on Him, right? All right. And then we're going to go to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. In verse 7. 2 Timothy 4:7. Paul lived in joy with no regrets. No regrets as he focused on loving God. See, that's your focus. You do all these things because you love God and you're following the Holy Spirit. If you love God, the Holy Spirit will lead you. And if you follow Him, you'll be full of joy and you'll be able to praise God. Amen. And you'll have no regrets as you follow God. You'll look back and you won't say, gosh, I wish I hadn't have done that. No, you'll say, praise God, I'm so happy I did that. And then you might even receive that crown that you're looking for up there in glory, right? But we won't go into that. Okay. So, Paul lived a life in joy with no regrets. He focused on loving God, giving the gospel of Christ, and loving people. If you're giving the gospel of Christ, you're showing love to people. Because you're giving them an opportunity to totally skip all that about hell. Because if they make a commitment to Christ, they don't have to worry about that anymore, do they? So you are loving people, giving them the opportunity to be with Christ in glory. Amen? All right. So in verse 7 there of 2 Timothy 4, he says, now he's at the end of his road, right? He's in a despicable Roman jail. I'll tell you what it amounts to. It amounts to living in a septic tank. That's about what it amounts to. And you have to find a dry spot. You have to crawl up because it's kind of one of these things that has a floor that goes down, it's not level. And you have to climb up and find a dry spot so you can stay dry. That's where they held you as you were waiting to be executed. So it was totally despicable, right? So he says here in verse 7, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. You see, he has that dependent relationship with Jesus Christ. Finally, there's laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but to all who have loved his appearing. Folks, that's you. You're in line for that crown of righteousness because you love and you're serving the Lord. You're having that dependent relationship with him. And that's what it takes. If you want the full blessing of the Lord, you got to have that dependent relationship. You can't hold anything back. You've got to give it to him and live it with him. Amen? Paul laid it all on the altar of sacrifice for the Lord Jesus Christ. He held nothing back. Good or not, we will all finish the race, won't we? We know what the end is for this life. We know that this seed shell is not going to last forever. In fact, we look forward to the time when it's going to be changed into that glorious shell that we're going to wear for eternity. Amen? So he laid it all on the altar, and we should too, because we're all going to finish the race. And you can have joy right now. You want joy in your life? Of course you want joy in your life. I want joy in my life. And you can have that joy right now, but you got to give it all to the Lord. You got to have that dependent relationship with the Lord. Racing according to the rules, not of this world, but to the rules of grace. Race according to his rules. Race according to the way the Holy Spirit coaches you. You know, he's our coach. And we should do what he says to do. We should play the way he says to play. We should be in the game the way he guides us. And above all, we should keep the faith. Keep the faith. You can probably think of a lot of people right now that aren't here. Where are they? Are they keeping the faith somewhere else? I hope so. I hope they are. I don't begrudge them anything if they've gone somewhere else and they're still serving the Lord. Praise God. But for those that have walked away and they're wondering what's in life for me now. Those are the ones. Those are the ones we need to pray for. I was walking through the sanctuary this morning and it hit me. As a matter of fact, I had in my briefcase, you know, you get those little cards at Celebration of Life and they tell you about the person, their name, their particulars. And I saw a picture and I thought, what picture is that? And I pulled up, it was one of those cards. And it was from a particular saint that was going here when he passed. And I thought, well, I haven't seen his family here for quite a while. Where are they? We need to contact them. We need to find out what's going on. Now, I hope it's because of education, because I know that both the people involved there were looking at higher education. So I'm hoping it was like that, right? But I don't know. So we need to get the scoop on them because we need to know what happened. Did they lose the faith? Did they keep the faith? We need to be encouraging these people to get back in the race, to keep the faith. And we're going to start focusing on that. We're going to start focusing on contacting people that we haven't seen for a while. Amen. Where are they? Where did they go?
Amen.
Right? We need to do that because that's part of our job as believers, to encourage one another. Encourage one another to keep the faith. Because guess what? If you don't keep the faith, you're not going to be walking with the Holy Spirit. You're going to be walking totally on your own. That's not a good thing. We need the Holy Spirit. We need His guidance. We need His strength to get through this life. And when we see people that just drop off and we don't pursue, where do they go? We need to find out. We need to live Jesus. Wouldn't he want to find out? Wouldn't he want to know? Sure he will. Keep the faith. Live Jesus. Walk in the Spirit. Receive the crown. That's what we're talking about. There is a reward. There is a reward. More than just being there. Being there to me is enough, okay? I'll be so happy. You know, I don't need a mansion on Main Street. I'll be happy with that cabin in the corner way out there on the back 40, all right? That would be okay with me. But there is a reward if you keep the faith. Amen? All right, now let's go over to Philippians chapter 4 again. And I think we're going to spend most of our time in Philippians after this, with maybe one other change. Philippians chapter 4. Paul was able, in any circumstance, to know and to keep, to hang on to his joy. No matter what happened, he kept his eye on the Lord and had joy. Amen? You just read all the things he went through. And most of the time, at the end of his tribulation, it'll say something about his joy and how he got through it. Amen? His testimony was this. This is Philippians chapter 4 and verse 12. Here's his testimony. I know how to be abased. I know how to do without. I know how to get by when I don't have anything, when the world's not treating me right and I don't have anything. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. When the Lord's blessing me and I have everything I need, I don't get uppity. I know that's from the Lord, and so I use it for His glory. Amen. I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry. No matter how much you have, no matter how much the Lord blesses you, you should always still be hungry for the Holy Spirit and the love of the Lord and the fellowship of His Word.
Amen. Amen.
Stay in the Word. And that keeps you fresh in the Spirit, and it encourages you to walk in Him. Amen. So he says, I have finished the race. This is right before he's executed. He was beheaded. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness. How did he get the crown of righteousness? Because he'd done so many great things? No. He did do a lot of great things. He wrote many books in the Scripture along with the Holy Spirit used him to write those. He encouraged many people. He started churches. But that's not why he's getting the crown of righteousness. He's getting the crown of righteousness because he confessed Jesus. He accepted Jesus as his Savior, and then he followed the Holy Spirit. He kept the faith. That's why he's getting the crown of righteousness. He didn't abandon ship when it looked like it was going to go under, right? Literally. He gathered up all those guys, those prisoners and those guards, and he got them over to safety. That's why he's getting the crown of righteousness, because he kept the faith. And that's what we need to do. We need to keep the faith. There's laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. What day is that? The day of the Lord, when we all come before Jesus for judgment. But it's not really a judgment. It's an award ceremony.
Graduation.
You're not going to be judged because Jesus took care of that. He took away your judgment with His sacrifice of His body and blood. So you're not going to be judged for sin. And you know, a lot of people think that sinners end up in hell because they were sinning, right? That's not why they end up there. They end up in hell because they refuse to accept the gift of life from Jesus. They denied His sacrifice for them. Oh, don't bother me about Jesus. bumper stickers out there like that. Don't bother me about Jesus. I got other things to do. I got my own thing to do. Listen, without him, one day you're going to confess to him. And you can either confess, I love you, I trusted you, or you can confess, I went my way. And he'll say, that's right, and you're still going your way. It's that way. Not funny, really. Okay, so he is going to receive on that day, and he says, not only me, but all of those who love me. Keep the faith. Walk in the Spirit. All right, now, I think I went backwards there for a minute, but let's go forward now. Here's what he says in verse 12. I know how to be abased. I know how to when I'm blessed, I know how to get through that. When I'm abounding everywhere in all things, I've learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Doesn't matter what my circumstances are. Good, bad, indifferent, you don't like me, you like me, I don't care, it doesn't matter. He likes me, that's all that matters. And I like him, I love him. Amen? And so I'm good with that. There it is, that Christ-dependent attitude. Nothing else matters. It's just my relationship with him. Nothing else matters. If my relationship is right with him, guess what? It'll be right with everybody else. Yeah, it will. Because you'll be seeing him in others and you'll want to serve that. You'll serve him. You'll love them because you want to love him. He said, if you love me, you should love them, right? If you love me, love them, and then they'll know you love me. But if you don't love them, they'll know you don't really love me. You say you do, but do you? It's by our works that we're known. Not saved, okay? I didn't say by your works you're saved. I didn't say that. I said by your works you are known. Scripture says that a child is known by his doings. Same thing, we're children of God. We're known by our doings, right? And so we need to be dependent and have that dependent attitude. This is life. Should be our life, dependent on Christ. It's life. In life, what do we have? We have good times. We have hard times. We have ups. We have downs. We have joy. We have sadness. Here's the key to a steady spiritual life. Walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Love the Lord. Walk in the Spirit. Follow the Spirit. Here's what that means. Focus on walking like Jesus. So we already find being good is that. If I'm going to be good, I'm going to be like him. If I'm going to be like him, I'm going to have to do what he did. And I can't do what he did without the power of the Holy Spirit. And I can't have the power of the Holy Spirit unless I give it all up to him. If I try to do things in my strength, the Holy Spirit says, okay, go ahead. I got to see this. Yeah. And he steps back and gives you the leeway. And then when you realize you can't do it, then you get back right. Amen? Okay, so walk in the Spirit. Focus on him. Focus on the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Hang in there. Don't give up. Keep the faith. Give kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And so easy to just blow up sometimes, isn't it? Yeah. And it can happen in a heartbeat. You don't intend to blow up, but next thing you know, there you are. Amen. Oh, Lord, please forgive me. Amen. That's the smart thing to do. Just stop and ask for forgiveness. Amen. Amen. To accomplish living by the fruits of the Spirit, you must. This is essential. You must humble yourself to Jesus and have that dependent life with him. It's the only way it's going to happen, folks. If you're holding back, he knows. He wants you to give it all up so he can bless you fully. You must humble yourself to Jesus. And then you must humble yourself to each other. Because you know what? People aren't going to agree with you.
Amen.
You know, you won't leave this building in 5 minutes. You'll find out there's people. They're not going to agree with you.
That's right.
A lot of them won't even want to hear what you have to say. And they'll tell you so, right? So you have to have these fruits of the Spirit to keep on keeping on for the Lord. And you have to humble yourself to Him and then to others. And you have to, guess what? Something you hate to do. Put them first. What? Humble myself and put them first? Come on, they don't even love Jesus. That's the whole point. That's the whole point. You're showing them what the love of Jesus looks like, right? You put them first, and where do you come in? You come in third. You come in third place. Because it's J-O-Y, joy.
Jesus,
others, and then you. So you're in third place. Keep that in mind as you go through your day, and you're about to blow your top. And just think, I need to humble myself and get right with the Lord. Right now, in this instant, Lord, help me. That's all you got to say. Lord, help me. All right, now turn back to chapter 2 in Philippians. Same book. Same book, Philippians 2, verse 13. Paul was filled with joy when he allowed God to work in him and through him. That's what gave him joy. The Lord is working. He's working through me, and I'm letting that happen. That brings me joy. That brings Him joy. Philippians 2:13. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure.
Amen.
Not yours, but guess what? It'll be your pleasure if you're codependent on the Lord. It'll be His pleasure, it'll be your pleasure, and it'll bring pleasure to that person you're focused on, right? So you give it up. You humble yourself to the Lord and allow Him to work through you. The word works in that verse, it is God who works, is speaking of the Holy Spirit's power in us. We have to humble ourselves for His power to come through. If we get in the way, He can't do it. And He'll wait until we give Him the reign. Right? He'll do it if we let Him. So it's His power revitalizing our spiritual knowledge, our wisdom, and our power. The power of Jesus, right? The power of the Holy Spirit. It's revitalized when we humble ourselves. It's God breathing His power into us as we humbly submit. We allow His power to come in. He breathes it in, right? It's like getting mouth-to-mouth resuscitation from the Holy Spirit. He pumps you back up. And you're ready to jump back in there and get back in the race. That's what you want to do, isn't it? For it is God who works in you both to will. God wants to use you to do His will. You knew that's why you're here, right? You knew that's why you got saved. God has a task for you. Will you do it?
Amen.
You will if you become codependent with Him. Probably won't do it if you don't. So you have to make a decision. There's choices in life. There's choices in the Christian life. And that's one of them, right? Choose to walk in the Spirit, walk with the Lord, and do those things He wants to use you to do. Amen? This is Him doing through you when you humble yourself to His will. And that's the only time it'll happen, when you humble yourself. Then the transaction is completed for God's good pleasure. When you humble yourself to His will, it becomes completed, and then He's pleased, and you're pleased, and the recipient's pleased. That's joy. That's the joy of the Lord in your life. That's why we do it. It satisfies God when His will is done. Then He's satisfied. I had my way, and I'm God. My way is the best way.
Amen.
It's the best way for you, so give in to me. His joy becomes your joy, and your obedience to Him brings that joy. Amen? Are you kind of grabbing on to what I got going here? I got to hurry now. Look back at chapter 1 in Philippians. Chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. In Philippians, Paul's joy came from a positive Holy Spirit outlook when he observed that his imprisonment was encouraging others to speak the gospel. I'm in prison. Does that let me off the hook for doing what God wants to do? No. You still have to humble yourself to the Holy Spirit and do what He wants you to do. Paul's joy came from a positive Holy Spirit outlook. And so when he observed that others were following Christ because of the way he acted in prison, he had joy. Verse 13 and 14 in chapter 1, 13 and 14 says, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. They don't have me chained up here. The Romans don't have me chained up. It's Christ that has me chained up. I'm doing what He wants me to do. I'm in the place He wants me to be. And most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. What were they speaking? The gospel of Christ. The Lord used Paul in his imprisonment to speak His word and save more people. Amen? How about Joni Erickson Tada? A different kind of chains. Quadriplegic from her teen years due to a diving accident. Confined in bed and wheelchair for the rest of her life. She's still a quadriplegic today. I don't know how old she is. I think she's about my age, to be honest with you. I'm old. So she's been in that bed for a long time. How many people has she inspired to live for Christ? You can't even count them all. All over the world, she has inspired people. Her unseen chains made her and many others confident to speak about the love of Christ and help others come into His kingdom. What a testimony. What a testimony. You know, one day she'll be walking and all those people are going to come up to her and say, you know, you helped me see the light. Wow, what a testimony. Okay, skip down to verse 21 there. And I think we're still in chapter 1. Is true joy here on earth truly your goal? That's the question you have to answer. Is true joy my goal? Is it really? True joy won't be found in material possessions or human relationships, even the most tender as of a mother and child relationship. You still won't get true joy. Our true joy while here in this life is to imitate Jesus. That's where true joy comes from. Imitating the Lord Jesus Christ. That is Paul's hope and goal in life. That's what his goal was. Philippians 1:21 says, For to me to live is Christ. For me to live is Christ. I want to be like Him. I want to imitate Him. To live is to imitate Christ's love and care for others. Do this, and two things will happen. Try it. Two things will happen. Others will have joy. And you'll be able to see it. You'll see the joy come over them, all right? Others will have joy. And you will have joy. Yes, you will have joy too. And you'll feel peace and contentment when you feel that joy. Because it comes from Christ. So they'll have joy, you'll have joy. And there's one other person that will have joy. Actually, three, because there's three in one. But that will be the Lord, right? Because you're doing His will. You're doing what He loves for you to do. Finally, turn to the book of Hebrews. It's towards the back. The book of Hebrews, chapter 12. The book of Hebrews, chapter 12. This is our inspiration. This is our motivation. This is what we're imitating in Jesus. The scripture says in Hebrews chapter 12, speaking about Jesus, giving us actually an assignment. We should look to Jesus. That's the assignment. Look to Jesus. And it says in verse 2 of chapter 12, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He created that faith. He's going to finish that faith. You have a part in it. Who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Amen. Beloved, that is our inheritance. If we imitate Christ, if we accept His Lordship and start walking in the Spirit and imitating Him, that's our inheritance. We are in Christ. He's at the right hand of God. We'll be in a power position. A power position to do right and good and spread joy. What was the joy of the Lord? What was the joy the Lord gained by His work on the cross? The joy of knowing that He had perfectly completed the Father's will. Perfectly completed the Father's will. The joy of knowing He had secured the redemption of humanity. All of humanity, every person, He had bought that back with His perfect body, His perfect blood, His perfect life through obedience to the Father. The joy of knowing He had secured that for all humanity. He had done the Father's will. He had done the Father's will. That's where His joy came from. And praise the Father that His will was that we all be redeemed. He said, if it were to me, I would that none would be lost. Although we know everybody will not accept Christ. Some will be lost. That was what His joy was. Obedience to the Father. That's where your joy is. Obedience to the Son. And if you're obedient to the Son, you'll be obedient to the Father. And your joy will come and it will be full. It'll be full. And I'm going to tell you what. You'll be blessed and you won't miss a thing. You won't miss a thing. So now we come to the question. The question for you. And it's only for you. Individually. It's your decision. It comes often. It comes moment by moment. And you have to make the decision. You have to make a commitment to be able to make the right decision. I'm just telling you the truth, okay? Here's the question. Will you do the Father's will? Will you obey the Father? Well, I don't know. What do I have to do to obey the Father? Number one, you have to accept His Son as your Savior. That's the number one thing the Father wants you to do. Get right with Him by accepting the salvation offered through the shed blood of His Son and the body that He gave. If you don't do that, nothing else matters. You won't be able to do the rest of it. You must commit and accept Christ as your Savior. Will you call on His Son, Jesus Christ, and join the family of God? You're not in the family of God until you've accepted Christ as your Savior. A lot of people like to think, well, I'm in the family of God because I'm in the world. No, you're in the family of men. You're in the family of humanity. That's totally different. Accept Jesus. Get into the family. That's what it means to be born again. To be born again is to accept Jesus and come into His family. You were born once into the family of man. You must be born again to come into the family of God. You have to do that. Be born again into God's family. Once you do that, then the Holy Spirit will guide you to what's next. He'll tell you to read the Word, study the Word, and He'll guide you through that. Amen?
Amen.
Come to Jesus and let Him give you new life in His family. New life. You can come right now. Ryan's not here. There's not going to be any music unless we crank it up again, I guess. If I give John the signal, he'll do it. You can come right now. And, you know, if you're not sure that you've ever done that, make sure. And just do it again. There's no extra charge. Okay? And Jesus won't have to go back to the cross again to make that happen. What He did is sufficient for everyone for all time. Come and don't wait. Now, I'm optimistic because I have written here, while they're coming, while they're coming, those who need to get saved and born again, the same question is for all of us who are already born again. It's a never-ending question, right? Will you give all your life to Jesus and let Him fully use you? You've done the first step. You gave yourself to Him. You accepted His gift of being born again. Now you need to go on and give Him your life to use for His glory. If you do, what will you get? Joy, joy, joy. That's what you'll get. You'll get the joy of the Lord. You want joy? You said earlier you wanted joy. That's how you get it. You serve the Lord. You give Him your life. Let Him use you. Will you give your life to Him? If you want to do that, you can come up too. You can come see me later. You can come see an elder later. You can confess to the Lord. Don't come see us. Just make the commitment. He'll know you made the commitment. He's not picky. He won't turn you away. If you commit to Him, He will accept you and He'll take you forward. Amen?
Amen.
That's right. He'll do it. All right. We do have one more song, don't we? Okay. Think about what was said today. I know it was long, but we need to hear it every now and then.
Amen.
And we need to hear that we have work to do for the Lord. If we want to have joy, if we want others to have joy, if we want Him to have joy, we need to fulfill our commission. We've been commissioned, haven't we? We need to fulfill that. Okay? So go ahead and crank up that song.